Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Meriwether and Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. Find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
This is an absolutely great time of year to be a sports fan. We love March Madness. Now, listen, you know, typically speaking, Georgia not a huge part of that, although they did win last night. Now, I'm not going to say too much about this because some of y'all think I've jinxed the Georgia basketball team here this season, so I'm going to tiptoe lightly around this, but Georgia got a win last night in the SEC tournament. You love to see that very late, albeit against winless in conference play Missouri, but nonetheless, it did happen. So college basketball this time of year makes things great. Get the Players' Championship, Pontevedra teeing off here today. That's a precursor to the Masters. That's fun. Major League Baseball right there around the corner. We love that. Georgia spring practice is going on. Obviously, we live for that. And in the middle of all of this, you've got the preparations of the NFL draft, too. And I think Georgia fans really enjoy this. Even someone like me, who's far more of a college football fan than an NFL fan, I think there's a lot to like about the NFL draft because, I've said before, I openly root for these Georgia players to be drafted high. We have our draft party at the end of our Dog Nation cruise each year. Always fun seeing those former dogs getting their name called. And I think this time of year, I always kind of find myself in sort of the same spot, looking at the draft hopefuls for Georgia and wondering how high they can be drafted, how many of those guys can be taken in the first round. I would say this year no different. And just like every other year, yesterday kind of a springboard for a lot of stuff to happen and for that conversation to take shape. Georgia, as you know, had its pro day. We had great coverage there at Dog Nation. In fact, if you go to our Dog Nation YouTube page, you know, Jay Black and Cody Chaffins working so hard to get a lot of those videos up there. You can see a lot of what the former Georgia players had to say yesterday. But I want to start today with something that Kirby Smart had to say, because Pro Day not only is a showcase for the talents of former Georgia players, it is also a demonstration, I believe, and I think you feel this way too, of what makes Georgia special as a program. And Kirby Smart was very clear about that yesterday, both in terms of what it puts on display about Georgia and what Kirby Smart's able to say to NFL coaches about the players that come through this program. Good stuff from Kirby Smart yesterday. Let's hear that to start our program here today.
Been a part of a really good run. I think most of them have been part of the 46 of the last 48 games. They've come out on top, and there's a reason why we've won those football games. You have good football players, and that usually equates to that. All these guys played a role in those games, and they're tremendous young men, tremendous people. They've worked really long, a lot of them 22, 23 years towards this day and this goal, and this is a small step in that direction.
You know a lot of these NFL coaches and GMs. What are some of the questions that they ask you when they're assessing the players?
The same general ones we get year to year. You know, what's their care factor for football? How important is football to them? Will financial opportunities change them? Are they dependable? Are they good people? And I think more and more the NFL's turned into getting guys that care about football and put team over self, and we try to promote those same things here.
So listen, I think what Kirby Smart describes there is the type of thing that most Georgia fans sort of intuitively believe to be true, that Georgia fans, let's just be honest here for a moment, would sort of root for Georgia players no matter what, because, you know, we've been fans our entire lives, and, you know, we might be willing to tolerate whatever, but, you know, Georgia fans might have a tendency or a temptation to want to root for Georgia players no matter what. But what has made the last few years, I would say, pretty fun for most Georgia fans is not only do you root for this team because it's the team that you've always rooted for, but rooting for a lot of the players that play at Georgia feels like a good thing to do, sort of a satisfying use of your time, because it seems like, you know, not only has this been a really good team, but the players that play for Georgia are really good dudes as well, the best that we can possibly tell. And Kirby Smart, I think, has an interesting way of describing that. The care factor. These guys, the way in which they demonstrate their care for football, their commitment to playing football the right way, I think most of us feel pretty good about rooting for UGA, encouraging our kids to root for UGA, connecting with our friends about rooting for UGA, because it seems like the dudes that play for Georgia are pretty good guys, and things like Pro Day seem to kind of demonstrate some of that kind of stuff. So when players go out and have a good Pro Day, especially ones who have demonstrated the sort of care factor that Kirby Smart describes, I think all of us have reason to celebrate, and all of us then can anticipate what's going to go down in April and say, boy, wouldn't it be great to see, you know, these guys get their name called in the first round. And so from that standpoint, with that in mind, you know, a couple of the guys who are sort of hanging on the brink of maybe they get into the first round, maybe they fall to the second, you know, both those guys I thought had really, really good days yesterday. And if you missed this, I think it's really fun. Let me start with Ladd McConkey. And I want to give you some of the buzz that was out there for McConkey in terms of NFL types who were there and people with big social media followings that cover the league. Taylor Biscotti, I believe that's how you say your name, says the UGA wide receiver Ladd McConkey had an impressive Senior Bowl, Combine, and now has had an impressive pro day. Dov Kleeman, once again, I believe that's how you say his name, said Ladd McConkey is going off at his Georgia pro day. So big reviews for the performance of McConkey. We already raved about him going back to what he did in Indianapolis at the NFL scouting combine. And speaking of raving about McConkey, that's also something that Kirby Smart was doing yesterday there as well, in talking about the way in which McConkey became the player at Georgia that he is, and now working on becoming the kind of, I would say, unquestioned NFL draft prospect, a guy who had the production on field when healthy and is now matching that with some really strong testing numbers. Kirby Smart talking in more detail yesterday about what it is that makes Ladd McConkey Ladd.
Just, it started from the time that we offered him to now. He's ascended and aspired to be great, and nobody works harder than Ladd McConkey, and I think nobody on our team would say there's a better teammate than Ladd McConkey. I don't know that he's ever said a negative word about anybody. He's just such a good kid. He's such a hard person to find, and he's a great football player on top of that.
Doesn't that sound good, feel good to hear? Don't you love that? That Ladd McConkey is a great teammate. Ladd McConkey works hard. Ladd McConkey sort of always done the right thing. And Kirby Smart obviously is going to vouch for his players. We understand that. But those are the types of things that you don't necessarily say that specific unless you truly mean them. However, the flip side of that coin is, listen, this is not some, you know, golly gee whiz, aw shucks, sort of, you know, good guy, you know, there because of some intangibles. No, this is a guy who was also a tenacious competitor on the field there as well and succeeded mightily at Georgia because of that. And that's also the mindset that Ladd takes with him to the NFL. And Kirby Smart had a chance to talk yesterday about how early it was in the process that Georgia was able to identify that, even when perhaps a lot of other programs that Ladd McConkey could have gone to, programs that could have had Ladd McConkey, perhaps they didn't see what Kirby Smart said Georgia saw in McConkey that gave them the vision that some of this kind of stuff could have come true for him. More of Kirby talking about Ladd yesterday.
A chip on his shoulder, a young man that wanted to prove everybody wrong. And, you know, we bet on him to be a good player, and he did. And he was very productive. And we're fortunate to have kids like that in our state that get overlooked and work really hard. And luckily, we have enough staff people here that we were able to find him.
The point is Ladd McConkey's more than just a good story. He is a really good player, and it is a successful story of Georgia's scouting efforts, big staff, casting a wide net and finding guys like McConkey. And by the way, it wasn't just someone like Ladd who has a chance to be in the first round. Maybe it's a second-round pick for him, but has a chance to get in the first round. That wasn't the only former Georgia player had sort of a similar thing going on yesterday. Another one of those guys is Kamari Laster. And Laster, we know what the film looks like. He was a shutdown corner, a truly stellar performer for Georgia's defense last season. But like a lot of these sort of pre-draft situations, he's going to be poked and prodded based on his numbers, his measurables, what he does there. And I'll show you what Field Yates said about Kamari Laster yesterday. That, and Field Yates got a big following. This is a well-respected NFL reporter. On X yesterday, Field saying there was some speculation on Georgia cornerback Kamari Laster and his 40 time at the school's pro day. According to four NFL personnel in attendance, he's ran between, and I get this now, ran between a 4.50 and a 4.51. Like, how much space is there in between a 4.50 and a 4.51? I'm not quite so sure about that. But nonetheless, that time, Yates says, is plenty fast enough for one of the best players in the entire draft class. In other words, the film demonstrates this is a really good player. Now, the testing measurables seem to match up with that there, too, which I would say, is another example of a pre-draft success story for Georgia. And much the same way Kirby Smart had some really good things to say about Ladd McConkey, Kirby Smart was also there to talk about Kamari Laster and exactly what Field Yates said, a guy who has proven it on the football field, exactly how good of a player he can be, Kirby Smart once again.
He'll be a tremendous player no matter where they play him. He can play the nickel slot. He can play safety. He can play corner. He's a ball hawk. He's super competitive. You know, some people have a knack for finishing and getting the ball out. That's one thing that he has, a really good knack for finishing on the ball and getting the ball out. And corners are hard to find. It's a throw-first league, so you got to find people that can cover man-to-man, and he has the ability to do that.
Listen, I love that. I love the way in which Kirby describes that. I love the day that Kamari Laster apparently was able to have yesterday. It thrills me to think that he also, much like Ladd McConkey, is kind of justifying his case to potentially be a first-round pick, one of the top cornerbacks taken in the upcoming NFL draft. Now, let me close all of this by saying this. Listen, like, I know at times I'm probably a little corny. I do get that. That's just how God made me, I guess. And I'm probably a little over-sentimental from time to time. Maybe that's true there as well. But I think days like yesterday are really important, because when you pay attention to some of the other stuff going on in football, and we'll get there probably before today's show is done, when you pay attention to some of the other stuff that goes on in football, man, it's easy to get cynical sometimes. And it's easy to sort of wonder what all of this is about and what is this for and does it mean what we think it means. And it's easy to sort of think that way and have that conversation. When you see guys like Ladd McConkey, when you see guys like Kamari Laster, and when you see a million other former Georgia players who do these type of things each and every year, I think it not only makes you feel good about Georgia, but in a certain way it sort of restores your faith in football a little bit too, that this is still an incredible springboard for young men to become fully grown men and to become, go from college players to NFL stars and use this draft process as a way to take care of their family for a long time to come. Hard work paying off for a lot of Georgia players yesterday. It's one of the things that makes this time on the sporting calendar such a fun thing to experience each and every year. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Meriwether and Tharp. Glad to have you with us across all video platforms at 10, radio, Athens Sports Radio 960, The Ref, podcasts, wherever you find them. I'm talking about the Apple Player, the Spotify. We post the show at theworldfamousdognation.com. Our longtime loyal folks there in our podcast, we just really, really appreciate you clicking in and being a part of that. And by the way, if you sometimes watch us live on video, you want the show on demand later on, we'd say the podcast platform may be the best way for you to go and connect with all of that. And we're certainly glad for those of you who do all of that with us on a regular basis. Of course, we are so thankful to have our friends at Meriwether and Tharp who make the show possible for you there as well. Your source for Georgia divorce. Now, when I say Georgia divorce, I mean Georgia now, because for a long time, our friends at Meriwether and Tharp have obviously been taking care of folks in the Atlanta area. That's kind of where their home base was and where they've been. And I know a lot of folks here in the Atlanta area who, you know, facing some challenging times, facing a divorce situation, really trusted Meriwether and Tharp to help get them through that situation. And they'll tell you, while they weren't happy to be going through a divorce, they were certainly satisfied with the outcome they got on the other side of that divorce process, which is obviously perhaps the best that you can hope for. Meriwether and Tharp, all about that. But what they've been doing for a long time in the Atlanta area, now they're sort of stretching that out and providing that for the entire state of Georgia now. Offices in Savannah, Peachtree City there for the folks on the south side. Now in Athens there as well. These offices taking care of folks in these communities the same way they've been taking care of folks in the Atlanta area for such a long time. So when we say your source for Georgia divorce, that's what we mean. And there's a new website to match that. It's GeorgiaDivorceTeam.com. GeorgiaDivorceTeam.com, the website to go to and learn more about that. And when you get there, you can experience a lot of free resources like blog posts and podcasts and things like that. But you can also see an array of options for you to perhaps sift through and choose from in terms of giving yourself the cost certainty of exactly what this divorce is going to mean for you from a financial standpoint. What kind of financial commitment do you make to sort of see yourself through this? And you can do everything from like sort of a do-it-yourself type option that can be as low as $99. If you want to go the flip side of that and have the sort of full representation, traditional relationship with Meriwether and Tharp, they'll provide that for you there as well. And also a good number of options in between those too, including one of the things you've perhaps heard me talk about before, which is their model M&T level of service, which includes either a flat fee to pay for this or kind of a subscription fee that you can pay on a per-month basis as your divorce process is ongoing. just one of the, I think, really clever, creative ways that Meriwether and Tharp seeks to serve those who find themselves in a challenging situation. So please find them online. Once again, the website, GeorgiaDivorceTeam.com. That's GeorgiaDivorceTeam.com. Meriwether and Tharp is your source for Georgia divorce. All right, we're going to get Terrence Edwards here coming up in a little bit. Fun conversation coming up with him today, looking back on Pro Day, looking in on spring practice, and also, you know, certainly the challenging story we've talked about some this week, too. Terrence, of course, very close with Pierce Sperling. We'll get some thoughts from Terrence on that coming up in just a moment there as well. Prior to that, let's go around the doghouse. Poured today by our friends at Dr. Pepper. Love having Dr. Pepper as a part of Around the Doghouse here today. And I want to go back in time just briefly to yesterday, because I would say the most talked about thing around college football here this week are the words that Nick Saban used when he was a part of a congressional committee this week, a hearing on the future of NIL and the professionalization of college players and the possible like unionization coming there. And Nick Saban sort of speaking out pretty forcefully against an NIL culture that he sees as pervasive in college football right now. This got a lot of attention. You heard this yesterday, but as a reminder, let me let you hear it again here today, a few seconds worth of Nick Saban from Congress.
All the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always was about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, you know, like right before I retired and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them.
So we kind of joked about this a little bit yesterday. There's an element of what Nick Saban says there that almost feels like the Simpsons meme, but the old man yelling at the cloud. Was it Abraham Simpson that does that? Sort of feels like Nick Saban kind of comes across pretty angry, you know, pretty ornery about the way in which his coaching career came to an end and the kids these days type vibe that he sort of gives off there. And a lot of Georgia fans love jumping on that. A lot of people were just not Alabama fans. They like the idea of, oh, listen to Nick Saban now. You know, he didn't get that last national championship and he's kind of pouting about it. They're kind of angry about that. And listen, we're fans too. We like stirring the pot with that kind of stuff. Obviously, when it comes to making a little bit of fun of Nick Saban every now and then, of course, we sometimes enjoy doing that. But if you go too far down that road with Nick Saban on the basis of that clip, I think the tough thing that it becomes for a Georgia fan to reconcile a bit is the fact that yesterday at Pro Day, when Kirby Smart was meeting with reporters, unsolicited, by the way, he kind of pivoted a question about, you know, talking to NFL draft scouts and GMs and things like that. And how that kind of reflects on Georgia recruiting, he kind of pivoted on his own, unsolicited, in a direction that made him yesterday sound an awful lot like what Nick Saban had said the day before. Nick Saban saying in Congress, listen, all these kids care about today is the money. That seems sort of overly harsh and excessively negative when Nick Saban says it, but in a little bit more of perhaps a judicious way, maybe a little bit more of a even-handed way, Kirby Smart, when being asked about how recruits see a Georgia Pro Day, said something that sounds just a little bit similar. Let me let you hear this yesterday from Georgia Pro Day.
It's a great sell for the kids that will listen to it, because there's a lot of them that want to ask about NIL. They don't want to ask about what your NFL players have done. But I think it's much more important how you develop players than how much NIL you give.
So listen, I said this earlier, I realize I'm probably corny at times, and you know, sort of corny guys like me, traditionalists like me, of course, we're probably prone to say, you need to listen to these coaches. You know, you need to listen to Nick Saban, even if we don't really always love Nick Saban. You need to listen to what Nick Saban's saying here. We obviously do love Kirby Smart. Kirby a little bit more, a little bit younger. I'd say a little hipper than Nick Saban, typically speaking. A little bit more kind of with it, with sort of, you know, current culture perhaps. But even Kirby Smart says, listen, not every recruit wants the pitch of Pro Day. Some recruits care more about NIL than they care about NFL. That's Kirby Smart expressing that as a concern, very, very similar to what Nick Saban said there a moment ago. And I think some people sort of want to disregard that. They want to disregard people like me because it's sort of uncool to be on the side of the establishment in a situation like this. That's what some people sort of view coaches to be. But there are some media people who are probably cooler than me
who seem to be sort of saying the same thing too, right? I mean, it's like, you know, maybe at times I'm too traditional, maybe at times I'm a little corny, but someone like, say, Scott Van Pelt on ESPN, he's sort of thought to be kind of a cool media guy, got a cool job. He hosts the Midnight Sports Center. People like that. This week, Scott Van Pelt also seemed to be agreeing with a lot of what Nick Saban had to say, and it's at least worth considering. If so many people are saying something so similar, is there a chance that maybe we ought to listen to some of what it is they're saying? Here's Scott Van Pelt from SportsCenter.
Naturally, the reaction to Saban's comments on social media was measured. Oh, so you get to care about money and they don't. I get the point, but keep in mind that this man is the all-time winningest coach in the sport in terms of titles, and he's working. He's a professional, so that's why he gets paid all the dough. It's fantastic that players get to make money now, but every single coach in every single revenue sport, if you're paying attention, is saying the same thing. This is the only thing that any recruit is asking about now when they come on visits. And I don't believe that it's pearl clutching to wonder if maybe that's not ideal. Maybe something about the school and your development there as a human being ought to count as part of your process and your line of thinking, because overwhelmingly these athletes are going to have to find a job which isn't football when they leave. Sure, get your money, but there's more to it. At least you're supposed to be, right?
Let me conclude this way. I think that Scott Van Pelt's got a lot of credibility. People like him. He's popular. He's got a job that creates a lot of attention for him. And if he's taking Nick Saban's word seriously, then perhaps we should there as well. And even if we're sort of prone to want to mock Saban, if what Kirby Smart is saying is similar to also what Nick Saban's saying, perhaps we then also ought to take that somewhat seriously. And by the way, taking the words of Saban and Kirby seriously and the words of Scott Van Pelt seriously doesn't mean that you're anti-compensation for players. It just means that you see more value in college football than just the sort of relatively meager compensation NIL can provide in exchange for the sort of long-term development that you can achieve and go on to great riches in the NFL. Coaching still matters in the sport. In other words, at least it should. The development you get from those coaches should still matter. That's what was on display for Georgia's Pro Day yesterday. And even in an NIL age, that's the kind of stuff that probably should still be getting more attention than perhaps it currently is based on what Nick Saban is saying and based on what Kirby Smart is saying, and as Scott Van Pelt says, based on what a lot of other coaches are saying there as well. It's at least food for thought, and that is Around the Doghouse here today, poured by our friends at Dr. Pepper. As we said before, love having Dr. Pepper a part of Around the Doghouse here, just for the simple reason that I couldn't figure out what camera to go to there for a moment. Just for the simple reason that Dr. Pepper is such a thing that I've just loved for a long time. So proud to have them a part of the show here today. So listen, when you're out there shopping for your groceries, when you're out there doing that each and every week, make sure you're picking up the rich, delicious, one-of-a-kind flavor of Dr. Pepper. You see that number 23 right there in the can? You know what that means. There are 23 different flavors in Dr. Pepper. And when you know that, all the different flavors and how many there are, that's truly a pepper thing right there. And so that's what Dr. Pepper is all about. Stop by your local Kroger or wherever it is that you're doing your grocery shopping, and you can enjoy some Dr. Pepper here today, because it truly is a pepper thing. And it's great to have Dr. Pepper as a part of Around the Doghouse for us here today. All right, so we got a lot to do here on the program. Before we are done, there was a pretty surprising move made in the SEC yesterday that, frankly, I don't think I saw coming. But I think it does sort of speak to maybe a little bit of a win-now mood starting to kind of take shape around one of the league's teams. We'll tell you more about that here coming up in just a little bit. My understanding is that Terrence Edwards not quite ready to go. He is ready. Okay, so Terrence Edwards is ready. So let's keep the conversation going here today on everything going on with Pro Day, spring practice, and everything else. Let's bring on Terrence Edwards here today, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Let's bring on Terrence Edwards here. A lot to talk about with him today. Always great to have his time on our program. And Terrence, before you join us, we heard Nick Saban in Congress, Kirby Smart sort of unsolicited yesterday at Pro Day, expressing some concerns here about what they say are players maybe caring more about the NIL part of this than some of the development part of that. Easy to disregard that if you're, you know, really in favor of, you know, some of the professionalization of the college players and things like that, and the sort of, you know, radical change that some people propose for the sport. There are also another side of people who are going to say, listen, if these very successful coaches are saying something like this, you know, maybe it should be taken more seriously. Where do you come down when you hear Saban expressing concern about, you know, kids these days, all they care about is the money? And Kirby Smart kind of saying something that sounded at least a little similar to that. What do you make of these coaches sort of sounding off this way about this particular topic?
I can understand where they're coming from because a lot of kids, that's the first thing that they do want to know is, you know, how much money that I would be making or what can you offer me? You know, now that's the, instead of how can you develop me, is how much money can you offer me to come to your school? And that's the conversation that the coaches are having. And on one end, I can understand the frustration coming from the coaches, but then on the player's perspective, you know, players like me who didn't have this opportunity, so I understand, you know, if, you know, being able to make this kind of money, more money than, you know, my family have ever seen. So I can understand from that standpoint as well that, you know, they would like to get compensated. So it's, I just think we have to meet in the middle somewhere. I think it's kind of got a little out of control, especially for the high school aspect of it. I love that fact that Carson Beck was able to go and prove himself on the field. Now he's able to cash in on his name, likeness, image. And I think that's what the whole spirit of that was entitled for, not going out buying players, that which, you know, I'm okay with the players getting the money, but we got to find a balance somewhere for the coaches and the players.
I think you bring up a really good point. You talk about kind of meeting the middle, because here's what I see, Terrence. And I would say that you're someone who sort of exists somewhat in the middle. You know, you got the foot in the coaching world, you got the foot in the player world. And so I would say you do kind of exist in the middle on something like this. But for those people who are sort of more on one side or the other, excessively pro-player or excessively kind of pro-establishment, for lack of a better way of saying this, what happens is that one side sort of paints the ugliest possible picture of the other, kind of like a demonization. In other words, you know, when you hear Nick Saban say what he says, there are going to be some people who are like, you know, Nick Saban doesn't want players to get paid at all. You know, he's, you know, he wants all the money for himself. You know, we have some public statements that would lead you to believe that's certainly not true about Nick Saban. That's what some people say. The flip side of that is that, you know, people who are a little bit more traditional look at the players like all they care about is money. They're, you know, into their cars, they're into their, you know, I don't even know what they're wearing, whatever else. They don't care about the other stuff whatsoever. I would say that's equally false, that the demonization of both sides of this issue probably needs to stop, and a little bit more of a realistic conversation needs to take place, that for as much as players do, I think, justifiably deserve to get paid and obviously want to get paid, the facts are, if you're going to get paid in college a sum that's, let's say, less than $2 million, that money's not going to last you the rest of your life anyway. So you better have some development, whether it be educational development or professional development or just sort of like, you know, growing into sort of a full-fledged man, you better have some development because, as Scott Van Pelt said in the clip we played a moment ago, you are eventually going to have to make some money doing something other than playing college football. So you better hope you're prepared to do that for when that time comes, no matter how far into the future that time eventually does come for you.
Oh, that's most definitely. I mean, we can contest that how fast it goes. You know, my 4 years at Georgia was like a blur now. Yeah. And, you know, if you're making this type of money for the 4 years, and unfortunately you do not develop into a NFL or professional caliber athlete, then you're going to have to do something, and that money is going to be dramatically lower than what you're making there. So I hope these players understand that this money is not going to last forever. It's not going to take care of you for the rest of your life. So do something, you know, do something good with this money, especially for the ones that don't make it to the professional ranks, that's still making this type of money. I hope they're having someone in their ear telling them how to make this money work for them for the next few years or for the rest of their lives. But that's the sad part of it, that if you don't become a professional athlete, we all know, let's just be real, you're not going to make that money right off in the real world. Yeah. And I don't like even saying the real world, because I still think that it's the real world, but outside of the sporting world, I should say.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think you're right about that. Pro Day was yesterday. I think it's fun. you know, you also watch this in a little bit different way than I probably will because you have more familiarity with the drills. You kind of know technique for these drills. When you're watching Pro Day, what are you watching? And what did you notice about the Georgia players yesterday who went through some of this?
I didn't get to see all of it. I got to see some of Ladd clips on the internet, and it just go out there and it just checks off more boxes that you already know. It's a lot to do with nothing, in my opinion, because the film is going to tell you everything that you need to know. But it goes back, and if a guy runs faster than he projected, now you just go back to the film and see, does he play fast? We can run fast, but I like a lot of people need to know, do you play fast? So I think, you know, Lassiter ended up running 4.6 yesterday that I saw on Twitter, but we all see that he plays faster than a 4.6. So, you know, now teams is going to go back and look at his film and see how that adds up to the film. Does he play 4.6? So it's going out there and it's putting on the show. And I think Ladd put on the show, and it's really going to be, you know, I'm waiting to see where Ladd is going to fall into draft. I have a speculation what I believe, but you never know because I only take you one team to like you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my thought here is, you know, at this point, why couldn't he be a first-round pick? Because if the numbers are what they're supposed to be, and it seems like they are, the production when he was healthy, that's what it was supposed to be too. We will never know how productive he could have been this year, but if you sort of use his, next to last year in 2022 as a little bit of a guess on that, you know, he could have approached 1,000 yards this year had he played the full season. Unfortunately, just wasn't healthy enough to do that. If you want to knock him for the injury, I guess you could, but my gosh, this is football. People get hurt. The point is, you know, you see him run past people in the game. You see him be an effective target in the red zone. The measurables in these testing situations match what you feel like you see on film. Why couldn't he be a first-round pick?
He could. I think he's a first-round talent. It's crazy that the year that he's coming out, we are so deep at the receiver
position.
That's right.
I just think
a lot of people just going to get knocked down because we're so deep. And that's not a knock on their ability. Ladd get knocked to the second round. It has nothing to do with his ability. Just we're the receiver position this year, unfortunately, just so deep with a lot of good receivers. So it's just what a team is looking for. I would love to see Ladd get drafted to Kansas City somewhere where you play with a generational quarterback. Like, I understand we all want to get drafted as high as possible, but sometimes getting drafted to the right situation is better for your long run of sports making money. So I love Ladd. I think whoever gets Ladd is going to have a special person because I know him along with a special talent.
Speaking of people that you know, as we kind of transition to Georgia spring practice, unfortunately, spring practice started off with some very tough news, and that's the fact that Pierce Sperling, a guy that you know very well, dealing with a very serious health issue. Now, my understanding, Terrence, is that he is healthy. This is more of a precautionary thing, the type of thing they're doing so they can stay healthy. But obviously, the heart issue going to cause Sperling to retire from football and stay around the program, but not as an active player. Terrence, you mentioned your college career going by in a blur, but at the same time, I know that you enjoyed every minute of it. I know that Pierce was looking forward to a terrific career, and a lot of folks thought that he had a chance to be a really good football player. How tough is this for that young man and his family? I hope that you'll tell them how, you know, sorry we are, and obviously, you know, praying for them. Our words, you know, don't probably mean a whole lot in a situation like this, but what's that like to have to see a young man make that decision for the betterment of his lifelong health, not just his health to be able to play, but his health to be able to exist as a happy adult after his college career is done, you know, a long productive life here. You know, what's that been like for the Sperling family as of late?
Well, I spoke with Piercy the week of their spring break, and he was excited about, you know, the opportunity to compete and earn playing time and excited for spring. And he told me that he was going to wear number 8 this year. So that was an exciting thing for him. So we were just texting each other back and forth. And once I heard the news, it was just heartbreaking because I know how this kid loves University of Georgia. His whole family loved the University of Georgia. So I'm just happy. If we look at the bright side, I'm just happy he got to experience the opportunity to play college football, something that he's been wanting to do, especially at the University of Georgia, since he was born. So I'm happy that he got that opportunity. But you just know, once you have to sit down with your family and make a tough decision like this, I'm sure it's hard for him. But I think it was the right thing to do from what, you know, reading about his long-term health. He's still going to be a part of the program. He's still going to be around, and he's still a damn good dog, in my opinion. So I'm just happy that he got the opportunity to experience Georgia football.
No, I think that's well said. I think you're exactly right. Beyond that, you know, it certainly seems to be interesting right now, you know, Georgia welcoming in some new pass-catching targets. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, the need for Carson Beck to get on the same page with those guys quickly. We asked Jake Fromm this yesterday from a quarterback standpoint. By the way, in his career, he had to do this with guys like Lawrence Gager, who came in, and you know, it seems like Jake found a rapport with them pretty quickly. But on the other side of this, you know, if you're a receiver, you know, one of these transfers that comes in, how do you get up and running as fast as possible, and how do you develop that connection with your quarterback? Because, you know, for Georgia to go where it needs to go offensively and replace some of the statistical production that, you know, guys like Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey and Marcus Roseme Jackson, who we also saw at Pro Day yesterday, what they were responsible for, Georgia needs a pretty significant contribution from some of these transfer players. Terrence, how do they hit the ground running as fast as possible?
Well, you got to do a lot of this thing on your own, doing the offseason conditioning. That's where the leaders of the team, or it's the Carson Beck, and go out there and script 7-on-7, go out and just throw the football around. This is a time where Carson, as the leader of the team, get those receivers. Let's go out and run routes and catch the football and get the understanding of everyone's body movement. So though that is on the players, and now it's time to put this on tape with the coaches, put this with the pads, put this against competition, against the DB. So those are the things that they're looking for now. And just like you said, the quarterback receiver combo, we have to know everyone's movement. I mean, I just heard a story where the quarterback for the Falcons, who they just signed,
Kirk Cousins
asked to see all the receiver catches from their high school days, because he's trying to see how they run routes. He's trying to see their body movements. And that's what a great quarterback does, is just try to get to know his receivers pretty fairly quickly. So I believe Carson Beck is going to do that and have done that. Now just taking it to spring practice. And I'm excited to see what some of the new guys is able to do. And I'm ready to see Dominique Lovett really, you know, take the next step. Now he's comfortable in a Georgia uniform. And I think he's really going to be able to take the next step as one of those transfer receivers came from last year.
Yeah, I think we would say probably maybe due to be on the field a little bit more this year, right? I mean, Georgia probably going to do two tight end sets a lot because they like to do that. But, you know, it seems like he was probably more on the field last year when Brock Bowers wasn't playing. And so, therefore, maybe the change over with Bowers, maybe that creates an opportunity. I know that Ben Yurosek's going to be a part of this story eventually, too. Obviously, he hasn't arrived yet. But you almost wonder if some of the thing for Lovett is he's just on the field as a sort of a greater presence in the offense because of the fact that Brock Bowers is no longer here.
Yes, I'm assuming that we'll be a more 11 personnel, traditionally 11 personnel, than we have done before because of Brock. And now with the talented receivers that we have to continue to get those guys on the field. So they're going to give Dominique Lovett more opportunities to catch. I just like his skill set along with the others. So I can't wait to get down there and just go in and evaluate. And, you know, Robert has been there all week, and he saw Dylan Bell for the first time up close. And he called me, was like, man, I didn't realize he was that big. So I'm just ready to get down there and just see some of the guys and see the new guys, see Humphrey, see Kobe, just see a lot of the new guys and see what, you know, what they're going to bring to the table.
Did Robert say anything about what he's seen from Josh Crawford so far as the running backs coach? You know, I know there's a little bit of a transition there. And with four new coaches overall, you know, on the one hand, hey, that's a lot of, I think the word they got used, onboarding. And you're doing this as you, with your own staff there at Mount Vernon. You got to get a lot of, you know, coaches up to speed quickly about how things operate at Georgia. But the flip side of that is there's also the positive of a guy like Crawford can bring some new energy. James Coley being back could maybe bring some new energy. Certainly on the defensive side, we know T-Rob's capable of providing that, and perhaps Dante Williams is there too. Any thought about, you know, the fact that Georgia's got a spring practice right now with almost half of your assistant coaches being new guys? Did Robert notice anything about that, or just your overall thoughts about what that new blood could mean for the energy here at Georgia spring practices?
No, Robert really liked Crawford. Robert really thought he was doing some really nice things in that room. And I don't know the comparison between him and Dale. I didn't spend that much time around Dale as Robert has. But he just liked the energy that Coach Crawford has brought so far. I knew Coach Crawford from Georgia Tech because he recruited some of my guys at Milton. So I kind of got to know him a little bit through the recruiting process. But for right now, Robert, it's so far so good.
Well, that is great to hear, Terrence. We certainly appreciate your insight on all of that. And, of course, when it comes to working with guys like Pierce Sperling, something that you did for a long time, and working with Ladd McConkey, something that you also did there as well, you're working with that next generation of pass catchers right now. So for people who want to be a part of the Terrence Edwards Wide Receiver Academy, how they can get in touch with you. And as you said before, bubble work now is not just wide receivers. You got quarterbacks out there. You got defensive backs out there. You're essentially playing football with all these guys right now. So for people who want some of the training that you and your buddies are a part of, how can they get in touch?
Yes, and it's crazy to me that I see everything that Ladd was able to do yesterday at his pro day, a lot of the drills that the NFL guys are doing. Those are the same things that I'm doing with the bubble work. So if you're looking to come and perfect your craft and do some of the drills that the pros are doing, find me on all social media platforms at Terrence Edwards Wide Receiver Academy.
I love it, Terrence. Appreciate your time, and we will look forward to talking to you again here very soon on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp.
Thank you.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
I, for the most part, live in this studio. I don't get a chance to be outside this box very frequently, but I've been to Georgia Pro Day a couple of times before. I'm always really fascinated by it because, as Terrence said, when you see some of the cone drills and the things like that, I think you really see a pretty good representation of what football is. You know, I don't know how well the 40-yard dash actually resembles what football actually is. I'm probably not the first one to say that. But cone drills, things like that, short shuttles, you know, that looks like football, right? That ability to move quickly in a short space, laterally, diagonally, that's what football sort of is. And seeing that in a pro day situation, you do get a better understanding of why some scouts want to see drills like that, because it does, I would say, closely resemble what football can be. And I still believe that when it comes to general managers, scouts, personnel men, whatever, I think the batting average will never be much higher than 50-50. I just always believe that an individual evaluation of an individual player is only going to be about as accurate as a coin flip. So therefore, it's all about the story you want to tell yourself if you're wrong. And for me, I would rather bet on on-field productivity more so than workout promise, you know, workout possibility. Give me at least the proven commodity who's played well on the field. But I do understand why there's that extra level of confidence in a draft pick that comes along when you can back up some measurables to go along with some positive performance on the field. And obviously, for a lot of Georgia guys yesterday, they had a chance to do just that. Now let's get ready to go cruising around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And of course, as I believe I referenced a little earlier, as you head towards the NFL draft, what you're heading to is the final night of our Dog Nation cruise. And when we're on board, you know, it's been Independence Thieves the last couple of years. It's going to be Allure of the Seas this year. When we're on board the ship and have a chance to celebrate on that final night with our draft party, what a fun and terrific experience that always is when you hear those names called. I always remember our 2022 draft party when you end up getting five Georgia players drafted. You know, Lewis Cine goes relatively late and everybody's fired up about that. And everybody in the ship's looking around like, who are these crazy Georgia people who keep cheering this NFL draft? Such a fun experience and such a reminder of just how fun it's going to be on board Allure of the Seas for the very first time ever, a Dog Nation cruise taking place on an Oasis-class ship. And boy, when it comes to sailing on great ships like that and having a great time, you have your chance to do the same thing here. And Jessica Slater is a terrific travel agent who can help you out with it. One of the reasons why we love the Oasis-class ships, because as you see there, you've got the Aqua Theater on the back of the ship. For those of you watching on video, that's where the High Dive Show takes place. That's the Boardwalk neighborhood. You get the Central Park neighborhood right there nestled in kind of the middle part of the ship. A lot of bars and lounges and specialty restaurants a part of all of that. It's just the ultimate and sort of, you know, entertainment experience and dining experience and just sort of a recreational experience. There's nothing like what one of these Oasis-class ships can provide for you. And that's why if you can't be on board, Allure of the Seas with us on the Dog Nation Cruise. You need your own Royal Caribbean Cruise vacation. Perhaps for you, it's the brand new Oasis class ship set to sail in July of this year, or Icon of the Seas, which you know I've already been on, and it's been sailing since January. What a great time to experience the best that Royal Caribbean has to offer, and Jessica Slater, the one to kind of get you connected with all of that. Call her, 770-718-9147. That's 770-718-9147, or email her, jslater@dreamvacations.com. I would say this is pretty surprising news. So we know that Texas A&M has been in need of a new athletic director because its previous athletic director, Ross Bjork, left to go to Ohio State. Sort of thought to be a step up because Ohio State's just more successful in sports. It's also one of the sort of the big flagships in all of college football. A lot of folks thought that was somewhat surprising because while Ohio State's a good job, I don't know that there's a whole lot of evidence to suggest that Ross Bjork had done a good job in his previous stops, either at Texas A&M, where he rather nonsensically gave a big contract extension to Jimbo Fisher without much reason to justify it, and going back to that, perhaps not the best judge of character when it comes to Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss, and situations such as that. But Bjork, nonetheless, somewhat surprisingly, got the Ohio State job, leaving Texas A&M the process. So the Aggies have been looking for an athletic director, and now they found one. Now, AD talk doesn't exactly move the needle. I do get that. But this, to me, was somewhat interesting. Trev Alberts, who, by the way, some of y'all will remember, many, many years ago, Trev Alberts was an analyst working on ESPN. He was living in Athens. This is early 2000s. He was on the late night, you know, what do you call it, like Scoreboard Final or whatever the name of the show was. Always very pro-Georgia. He was always battling Mark May. Do y'all remember this years ago? Always very pro-Georgia, sort of battling against Mark May, who for whatever reason was kind of anti-Georgia. That was sort of the shtick. So a lot of Georgia fans have always kind of liked Trev Alberts. Well, Alberts was a Nebraska grad, or still is a Nebraska grad, a Nebraska alumnus, and was athletic director at Nebraska. Sort of seemed like a dream job situation. Obviously, Nebraska sort of thought to be an athletic department on the rise. They seem to have access to a lot of NIL. They have poets recently committed as quarterbacks to the 2024 class. There seems to be a lot going on there at Nebraska, but apparently not enough going on at Nebraska for an alumnus of the program to want to stay there in Lincoln. Trev Alberts is bolting for Texas A&M. So in the ongoing arms race between the SEC and the Big Ten, and you know, trying to decide, does the Big Ten deserve to be treated as an equal to the SEC? This perhaps a little bit of a suggestion that no, maybe it doesn't, because if A&M, not the top program in the SEC, is pulling a graduate of Nebraska away to come be athletic director, essentially spurning his alma mater, which means he'll never be welcome back in Lincoln again, you wouldn't think. It's a pretty big power move on the part of the SEC, an example of the Big Ten perhaps still having a lot of ground to catch up with there. A pretty interesting story. We talked the other day about, you know, the possibility that Jalen Milroe could eventually be replaced as Alabama quarterback, this also being suggested now by some national media types there as well. Well, no evidence that, at least thus far, based on some of the stuff that Kalen DeBoer is saying. DeBoer throwing a lot of praise into the direction of Milroe right now, saying, oh, so far he's been great. He's just listening, trying the things that and little tweaks here and there, things he can improve on. He's open to relearning, basically meaning it's going to be a different offensive system now led by Kalen DeBoer. So a lot of kind things being said about Jalen Milroe here right now. And I think this matters because we do believe that Milroe's grip on that quarterback situation in Alabama might be somewhat tenuous. And in light of the stuff that Nick Saban said the other day that got a lot of attention, Saban's been pretty negative as of late. He talked about he thought the less than classy way his team handled its loss to Michigan in the college football playoff contributing to his decision to retire. Keep in mind, there were some rumors about Milroe kind of pouting a little bit after the loss to Texas, and that was perhaps one of the reasons he was benched the following week against South Florida, that the mood of Milroe has not always been a guarantee for Alabama. And so for now, it looks like certainly Kalen DeBoer is doing everything he can to build that up. Now, maybe it's with good reason. Maybe Milroe really is thriving right now in the new system. But this relationship between Milroe and DeBoer is certainly going to be worth watching. How DeBoer handles this, whether he wants to make the transition to Austin Mack, who a lot of folks think will eventually get the job, or whether he believes that Milroe really is his best option. This is the first big test for Kalen DeBoer to pass as Alabama's football coach, and we'll certainly see how he handles that. Then finally, I'll mention this. In discussing, as I've said, there's an arms race in college football now, right? It's like, you know, the Big Ten wants to be treated the same as the SEC, wants the same slice of the pie, monetarily speaking, from the college football playoff, and wants the same number of teams in the playoff and all that kind of stuff. And most of us down here would look up there and say, listen, y'all are not SEC. No matter how hard you try, and yeah, you may have gotten the national champions here this year, but you got a long way to go to matching what the SEC does on a regular basis. But I will say this, there are some examples late of that league, the Big Ten, getting a little bit better when it comes to a drama standpoint. You know, the SEC has been pretty famous for drama for a long time. It seems like the Big Ten's doing a little bit better job in cultivating some drama. In fact, Tony Alford, running backs coach at Ohio State, leaving the Buckeyes, take the same job at Michigan. We know Mike Hart's out at Michigan. We talked about that the other day. Almost a totally different staff for Sherrone Moore up there in Ann Arbor. And going to the hated rival Ohio State to pull Alford away and bring him up there to Ann Arbor. Now, we don't quite know how Ohio State's going to respond to this as of yet, but this is sort of some SEC-style drama, isn't it? You know, LSU hired Bo Davis away from Texas, for instance. You see the sort of poaching of assistant coaches back and forth. Georgia hired T-Rob away from Alabama. This sort of an SEC thing to do, the kind of thing that aggressive moves like this haven't always been made up there in the Big Ten, but perhaps an example of them trying to be a little bit more SEC in their action. So I guess maybe it's about time they're on that, and we'll make that cruising around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean. Let me also give a shout-out to our friends at the Finnish Long Drink as we head towards the weekend. Finnish Long Drink, a great thing to be thinking about as you're enjoying beautiful weather. Y'all know this. I love drinking the Finnish Long Drink outside. It's a ready-to-drink cocktail. For me, it just goes great with sunshine. You're sitting on a back patio or around the pool or your front porch, wherever you're enjoying it. What a great time of year to be enjoying yourself some Finnish Long Drink, whether it's the peach-flavored version, the peach state for a limited time, the Long Drink Zero, no carbs, no sugar. I still love the traditional in the blue can with the grapefruit kick, grapefruit flavor, the gin kick. That's probably still my favorite. I also love the story. It comes to us from Finland back in the 1950s when the summer games were in Helsinki, and it's been in America now for a few years, and it's been in Georgia there too, and I love seeing folks in our audience continue to try for the first time and enjoy it and make it a part of what they're doing on a weekend or, you know, during the week or, you know, whatever. If you love a mixed drink that you don't want to have to mix yourself, you'll love the ready-to-drink cocktail known as the Finnish Long Drink. The cranberry version, the Long Drink Strong, 8.5% alcohol by volume, perhaps. You might enjoy that. It's just a wonderful, wonderful addition to a fun category of beverage. We think, by far and away, the best-tasting beverage in that category, the Finnish Long Drink. So we would encourage you to try some today. Find them online, thelongdrink.com, for more on that. That's thelongdrink.com. For more on that today. So let me say this. One thing you did not hear on today's show, and you heard it, or you didn't hear it for a specific reason, I've been criticized, I would say unfairly, but criticized nonetheless, for jinxing the Georgia basketball team this year. That's nonsense. We don't believe in superstition, but Georgia did win last night. Try to not make too big of a deal of it because I'd like to see it continue. They play again tonight at 9:30. Probably I certainly won't see the end of this game. I'll probably fall asleep before it's over with. But nonetheless, good job by the basketball team beating Missouri last night. Florida here today, always fun to beat up on the lousy Stinging Gators. So best of luck to the Georgia basketball team up in Nashville, the SEC tournament. But we are not jinxing them, but we were glad they won. And by the way, big performance from Blue Cane last night there as well. As far as our golden shoes go for today, how about this? An entirely new era of relations, we think, between the Falcons and the Georgia Bulldogs. We've talked about that a couple of times here this week. Kirk Cousins officially recognized yesterday and introduced to Atlanta as the brand new Falcons quarterback. He puts that on X, excited to be in Atlanta and become a part of this great organization. My boys and I are learning the Dirty Bird dance as soon as possible. Rise up. So you see his beautiful family there. And how about the two kids there in the middle? Both wearing Georgia t-shirts. So the Falcons, on their official account, upon introducing Kirk Cousins to Atlanta, showed off two good-looking kids, both wearing Georgia t-shirts. Obviously, the wife of Kirk is a Georgia grad. We've discussed that. So I would say here, for Falcons organization that's perhaps been guilty of not always showing enough love to UGA, maybe Kirk Cousins is going to usher in a brand new era. One can only hope. So far, so good. You love to see that. I mentioned the Finnish Long Drink a moment ago. We'll give a golden shoe out as well as we roll into towards the weekend. Jake the Rake reached out to me last week to say, enjoying some beer can chicken. Have you ever had that? That's delicious, of course. Also drinking some Finnish long drink to go along with it. A good way to end a 47-hour weekend. You love that from Jake the Rake. Hashtag go dogs. And to all of you enjoying the Finnish long drink as you roll towards the weekend. We love all of that. Golden shoes going out to all of you for that. But Jake the Rake in particular. By the way, speaking of the lousy stinking Gators, I do not know if Georgia will beat them in basketball. That is obviously not always easy to predict. In football, a little bit more of a sure thing. It's been 1,223 days since Florida's beaten Georgia. That number is going to keep on going up. That is our Gator Hater Updater. We'll see all of you back here tomorrow. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp.